Hey there, audio listener. You are a miracle. Most people watch this show on YouTube because of all the visual elements. Some of these sketches might actually not make a whole lot of sense. You can head on over there if you're a Mug Club member to CRTV to watch all of it. Of course, if you're not a Mug Club member, please do join up. It's what allows us to keep doing these shows for free along with the daily show for actual already Mug Club members. LideOrthClutter.com/Mug Club. And if not, just be sure to subscribe here on all of your audio devices and go give us a rating on iTunes. That helps us out. Enjoy the show. Today we have a terrorist in third chair. Next week, Daniel Cormier. Ooh.
Captain's chair because I've been watching River Monsters lately, and I've gotten to the last season. And he's no longer in rivers; he's just in the ocean. It's like you're just fishing for sharks.
Pointless.
Here in the Atlantic Ocean, the bull shark. That's not why I tuned in. I wanted to see River Monsters in freshwater. Really excited, huge show. We have Razor Fist on the program.
Yeah,
boom.
Yeah,
I'm excited. We have Dennis Prager on the program.
Oh wow. Boom.
We will be talking about the media's double standard with John McCain. We'll of course be talking about the Facebook walkout. I got winded from doing the captain's chair.
That's a workout. Apparently.
By the way, I should say that, like in Jaws, the captain is where you're bolted in to hunt sharks.
Well, you don't want to be bolted in. Is dangerous though, right?
No, you're safe. No, otherwise you go overboard.
Well, what if he takes the boat over? You're like bolted in. You're going down with it.
Been watching too many.
That's films. Jaws. You just said Jaws.
I know, but it wasn't the chair's problem. All right, we have producing in the show is Quarter Black Garrett. You can follow him on Twitter. You're Quarter Black, right?
Yes, I am.
Which quarter?
Hold on.
On your dead side. What's that?
Oh,
that's the official.
Wow.
That's the hood pass equivalent to us being murdered in the streets.
Yep.
G. Morgan Jr., sommelier, apparently that's a real thing. Wine of the day.
I got a Siduri Pinot Noir, my friend.
What? Siduri.
See, this is almost like a naked lady on the bottle there. It's
no, it's not no, almost like that almost, at all,
almost,
Rorschach.
Almost, yeah.
And in the third chair with us today is actually ISIS Communications Director and Senior Public Affairs Official Mahmoud Al-Mahmoud. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Stephen. Good to see you again.
I am glad to see you as well. You're sounding a little bit loud to me in your microphone, but that's okay because our sound guy's gonna get it there. You were breathing into it. It was a little loud for you earlier.
You know, I'm used to that desert wind.
Yeah. Great. I'm surprised you honestly were here with us today.
Oh, you know, I just want to put on a good face for ISIS. You know, we want you to see the softer side.
That's okay. Well, you know, you can look at me. You don't have to look at the camera. You're like Oprah, where she can't not look at herself. I know
I went to media school, you know, so.
He's a professional.
I've seen quite a bit of your work. And question of the day, put bluntly, how do you remember John McCain? All right. Not what do you feel you have to remember? Not what do you think everyone wants you to say you remember? How do you view him and his legacy? Comment below. We'll get into the media's flip-flop comparing McCain to Nazis before to hailing him as the second coming of Christ in a minute. But our top story, these recently took over a hot dog stand in Times Square, New York. This comes to us from an actual publication. The bees engulfed a food cart and were carefully removed from the umbrella while some stray bees made their way to the facade of a nearby cafe. Unfortunately, the swarm actually proved to be fatal as some just looking to enjoy a New York hot dog were taken from us far too soon.
Let us pray in silence.
One good drink every time, Jay. His face hurts. And where is his glasses? He can't see without his glasses. Put his glasses on. Put on his glasses.
He can't see without his glasses. You know this. I'm the mood. I think that was unnecessarily dark.
How did my mom let me watch that when I was 7?
I'm not surprised she let you watch anything from the West, in fact.
Yeah, I turned out okay.
You know what I'm really surprised is that the bees survived the hot dog water from those things. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's like the dirtiest. The hot dog water are people like Al Mahmoud on the street corners in New York.
It's good water.
It's not good water.
In other news,
protein.
A Facebook employee is now starting a movement against the company's intolerant liberal culture, as he puts it, and a lot of people have joined. The engineer, Brian Amerige, I think is how it's pronounced. Amerige? I don't know. This is one of the things I've only read about.
Yeah, it happened again.
In media. Only online on sites that we read, alleges that colleagues attack, often in mobs, anyone who is not left-leaning. He says they tear down Trump posters and demand that HR investigate anyone who criticizes Islam's human rights records.
Amen, brother.
Come on.
So this is where we are. Liberal tech bloggers are concerned that this is going to allow conservatives to claim big tech is biased against them, while conservatives are concerned about big tech being biased against them. By the way, Jeeves was the original whistleblower. Try to ask Jeeves. Uh-uh. You can't because he was murdered.
Nope. Yeah.
It's tragic. He's
for gone. Voting for John McCain.
No, of course.
Whom we all love dearly.
Of course.
Now, by the way.
You know, the original investigator for the whole thing was Tom from MySpace.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Yeah. But we had him burned in a cage.
Yes. Well, it surprised me.
Oh, my, it tends to be the method that you guys use. What's going on?
It's a bit cliche. It's getting cliche. Yeah. I will agree.
But very, very much. And look, don't worry. We're gonna give you the update story when they summarily fire him for sexual harassment later on in the week. So
yes,
don't worry about that. Yeah. It's going to be a random case from 5 years ago.
Yes. And the HR department was just copy-pasted from Fox News.
Yes.
The point is someone's getting wiener pics from a co-host or someone who shall remain nameless. You guys pioneered the burning in a cage, really.
Yeah.
Why the cage? It seems incidental at that point. The burning should be bad
unnecessary,
enough.
Right?
I don't know. It's kind of theatrical. You know, there's something about a cage that evokes something. I don't know if it's primal.
I don't know that it's
it works.
At all.
It just works, right?
Is that I don't know that it works. What about the acid attacks? Why that? Because, you know, this is one thing I've never understood. You know, you shoot someone, you stab someone. We understand it's war. You're trying to you're trying to take somebody out. The acid attack. I mean, you know, you're not going to kill them. It's just unpleasant.
You know, it's in the kitchen of your mom. You have acids in the kitchen of your mom, and you know, you make do. You know, this is
right. So it's like the Bart Simpson's Little Bastards toolkit.
Yeah, it's only the foundation of many art forms, really.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. I think you're entirely mistaken. But, you know, listen, cultural differences. Turning to Canada, speaking of cultural differences, Toronto is going to be opening its first sex doll brothel.
Oh, yeah.
In a nondescript shopping plaza. So the company's marketing director, I'm going to bring out this quote there, Gerald, says that there will be no human staff in the brothel section, and goes on to say that for men who have these dark, violent fantasies, they can do something like this, which is safe for everyone. They said, and trust us, you don't want to bark up that tree, said Tonka, the famed toy maker of the early, ill-fated 90s buddies.
Henry, will you please see what those boys are up to?
Introducing buddies. Buddies from Tonka. Bonk 'em, bop 'em. Buddies are looking for action.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Nothing, Dad.
Dropkick!
Who do you think you are?
That's
f***ing buddies want to be your buddies.
Henry, what's going on up there?
Nothing, dear.
Buddies new from Tonka. He's sold separately.
I don't know why that was a good idea. I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, man.
I heard about those sex dolls, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
A buddy of mine bought 72 of them.
Yes.
Did he put them on eBay afterwards, slightly used?
Loves them. Yeah, I don't know. Terms of service, I think there was a little flag about it.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know the worst job in the world? The IT guy.
Oh,
Emporium. What, does it have a virus? They're all viruses! We've reached... One thing we know, there's the level of depravity with sex dolls, right? We know that we've reached that level of depravity. But now we've also... We've created this ungodly amalgamation, this combination, this symbiotic relationship of the sexual depravity and laziness. They're not even earning the sex dolls now. It's a lease. It's a rental.
I wouldn't want to be the guy that has to go in there with the squeegee and the wet wipes on each one of those.
Yeah, what's a janitor job like that?
But we've seemed to have created a real live Westworld, thank God. We needed one of those, right? This worked out so well in the show.
I don't think there are any Evan Rachel Woods.
Well, that's
true. I think it's much sadder than Westworld.
This is definitely like Westworld season 2 where it sucks at the end.
There's no getting to the center of the game.
This would make a good Dirty Jobs.
That would be awesome.
You guys get there where you are in your lair.
Hey, Pirates and TV.
Mahmoud, you get Dirty Jobs in your lair. Big fans of the micro.
Oh yeah, we have the satellite.
On top. Hey, he's drinking from the infidel's mug over there. He must be a fan.
Well, it was part of the contractual obligation.
I don't even know what's in here.
sleep tight. Finally, there's new data, by the way, on New York City subway masturbator. So, the NYPD fielded a total of 376 reports of public lewdness or exposure of a person last year, and they logged 24 complaints at stations served solely by the F train.
Of course.
More than any other. Data shows, which actually finally gave authorities the evidence needed to arrest Thomas the serial public masturbator tank engine. So they were really
I knew that grin.
It was like Al Capone. They caught him on something else. You know what they caught him on? He went off the rails. That's what happened. Contorting himself to the boost. It's weird when you hear him coming down the. I think I can in rape. And if you think that's bad, you should. By the way, you should have seen the D Train.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Nobody wants to see.
Never caught the D Train.
Nobody.
No.
I thought you had something you were about to say there, Gerald.
Nobody wants to see the D Train.
Speaking of loneliness, by the way, because that train is. Do you remember Shining Time Station? Am I the only one out there? Please comment. No one else remembers Shining Time Station. You did you ever watch Shining Time Station?
No.
It must have been a Canadian show. So this is Thomas the Tank. The train engine. Is it Thomas the Tank?
It's Thomas the Train. I thought.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
It's disturbing that you know that. I have no idea what kind of.
You must study one's opponent.
Namely, six-year-old boys, apparently.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was Shining Time Station. Tell me, I don't know if this was a Canadian thing. It was like a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood, only was at a train station. And Pinky, whatever her name was from Greece, she was the lady who ran the train station. And there was actually a little conductor, a little mini conductor on the table. People are going to think I'm on acid. I'm not. I swear to you, this is an actual show.
You are on acid.
And that mini conductor was George Carlin. And then he would say, have you never heard the story of my friend Thomas the Tank? All aboard, beep, beep. And it would go to smoke, and it would go to a story of Thomas the Tank Engine. And that's where it started. So I know, I see the Thomas the Tank Engine stuff everywhere. I'm wondering if people know.
We don't call it that, though.
No.
Because it's a train. It's not a tank.
Shining Time Station was the show. And they replaced George Carlin, like in the third season, with Ringo Starr. I know people think I'm on drugs. Probably because George Carlin woke up one morning and said, I'm George frickin' Carlin.
I think you're high.
This may have been a dream you had.
This is not a dream I had.
It's possible.
Canadians out there, Shining Time Station.
Nope.
That and Mr. Dress Up, you must remember.
I wonder. It sounds like a complex pedophile ring.
You would have experience with that, wouldn't you, sir?
I did watch it in the bottom of a pizza parlor. So I feel very lonely. Speaking of loneliness, actually, you know what's being called this holy grail weight loss drug has been for a while now. It's finally found to be safe in an obesity study. Scientists found lorcaserin did not raise the risk of cardiovascular problems among at-risk individuals who took part in the clinical trial, though the authors of the study acknowledged that lifestyle changes are actually the recommended way to lose weight, which may sound like a mixed message, but just take a look at their commercial.
When it comes to the things you love most, is your weight getting in the way? Are your favorite indulgences followed by needless feelings of crippling guilt? Do you find yourself not getting the same joy from your once favorite pastimes? It may not be your fault. You may be suffering from chronic mild to moderate fat f***ness. But you're not alone. It is estimated that 50 to 65% of Americans suffer from moderate to severe fat f***ness. The good news is, lorcaserin can help. In a recent clinical trial, lorcaserin reduced fat f***ness and its symptoms by over 50% compared with placebo, along with improved weight loss, BMI, as well as other auxiliary health parameters. So ask your doctor today. Side effects may include a continued lack of discipline, inflated sense of self-esteem, poor eating habits, rebound weight gain, future diabetes, phantom neuropathy, and feminism. Do not take lorcaserin if you are pregnant, may become pregnant, or are thinking about pregnancy and or the continuation of your bloodline at all. Lorcaserin. So you can be at your fat best.
You don't really have that many big people in where you come from, because it's not feasible.
Yeah, I've cut people's heads off, but that was disgusting.
Look! Why is this? I give some miracle advice for you. Hey, get your fat ass to the gym. Put the Cheetos down. You're welcome. Done.
Yeah, it should. Here's the thing. There are people obviously who have genetic inclinations to be more overweight. I understand that.
But that's not 40% of the population.
No. But if there's a drug that works, God love him, I guess.
We keep coming up with all these complex ways to kill you. It's been carbs the whole time.
And we get pissed off at you for burning people. It's tiring. Yeah,
we do it to ourselves.
We should all be burning the calories. By the way, hit the notification bell, because subscriptions don't mean a whole lot anymore on the YouTube. And join Mug Club if you want to watch the show every day. It's an hour long. And, of course, it's what helps us fight back against the YouTube overlords. Right. $99 a year, $69 if you're a student, veteran, active military. And something else I want to announce. We're going to be doing a segment, for those who are Mug Club members, Life Advice with Stephen Crowder. Some of you have asked for it. So send your requests, your questions, sort of a Dear Abby, but, I'm a dick. Life advice at LauterWithCrider.com. Life advice at LauterWithCrider.com. And we'll be doing whole shows just reading your letters.
That's
and hopefully
awesome.
Solving your problems.
I like that. It's very good.
Okay, so back to the story. This has dominated the news this week. Here's what really bothers me about the McCain issue. There's a pattern as it relates to both McCain and President Trump. The media, of course, they excoriate any conservative, any Republican on a national platform, no matter who they are. And what they always do is they use that to then act as though they only have a problem with recent extremism.
Right, yeah.
They did that all the time. And a lot of people just forget about it and go like, oh, well, yeah, I guess so. No, I guess they were pretty fair with George W. Bush. I guess they were pretty fair with McCain. I guess they're pretty fair with Romney. It's just Donald Trump that they don't like.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Do they have to like make up for it in the end? They're like, all right, we were really jerks for this guy. Oh, he's dead. Let's like do an hour's worth of good coverage. That evens it out.
When everyone is Hitler, no one is. So
yeah, exactly.
Well, let's look at John McCain. The media has been pumping out hero stories of McCain, obviously, since his death. And most of them, obviously, well-warranted. The guy was a war hero. But the media completely despised him for the longest time just because he was a candidate against Barack Obama. If you need any proof, you need any examples, I haven't seen anyone put this side by side. So I want you to see the exact same people, what they said pre and then post McCain death, because all I want is consistency here. And I'll get to my opinion on him in a little minute. And it's going to sound harsh, but I'm not going to lie to you. So let's go to Exhibit A. Late night hosts, left-wing pundits. Let's look how this is how they felt about McCain while he was alive.
I would like to say one thing to Senator John McCain. Listen, Senator, you don't show up for me. America doesn't show up for you.
Thanks, Senator McCain, but we like Obama because, he can lift a basketball. And Obama can bite into an apple, and he's on the internet, and he's on my face.
This just doesn't smell right, because this is not the way a tested hero behaves.
You, sir, are responsible for a phalanx of individuals who are shouting fire in a crowded theater.
Why does the left always go to fire in a crowded theater?
Of course.
What is it with the free speech? And it was the same thing with McCain. Everything bad is like, well, hold on, I can't, going through my mental Rolodex here, I've already used Nazi and fascist. Yeah. And fire in a crowded theater?
Can't do it.
Does that apply here?
That's what they get.
I have no idea. But what are your folks, how do they feel about the McCain?
Oh, you know, they have a lot of respect for John McCain. You know, he stood up the torture, you know, Vietnamese torture. He could handle that. I mean, to be honest, I can't even put up with Vietnamese hospitality.
I can imagine. Their torture was positively, it was child's play compared to what you guys do now. But then here's the thing. True. They did. But then as soon as McCain just became a little bit of a thorn in Trump's side.
My favorite person in politics, in American politics in the 21st century is your father.
Well,
okay.
I appreciate that.
What?
And Megan's breasts, by the look of the eye line there,
didn't
go by. My favorite person is your father.
That's not awkward at all.
I think he made John McCain worst person in the world several times.
Yes,
and now
absolutely.
He's his favorite person. It's how disingenuous people are that bothers me. Love McCain, hate McCain. I couldn't care less. Just be honest about it. And Keith Olbermann, obviously. Hopefully he pays you guys a visit sooner. You pay him a visit.
Yeah, that would be great.
I like the anger.
Yes, exactly.
I like Angry Keith.
Yes. Yeah. Angry Keith, yeah.
It's much better than I've got a thrill running up my leg, Keith.
That wasn't Keith, that was Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews, sorry.
Good
sorry.
Lord.
It's all
white
terrible
guys look
jokes,
alike.
Everything. Well, look, I don't understand. You know, when somebody dies, like, you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. I don't know. I think that originated in like 600 BC somewhere. And I don't know why. It's not like you've accomplished a feat. This is exactly what Freud said. We give you special consideration as though you've done something really difficult. Death has a perfect record except for, you know, that one guy.
Yeah.
So why in the world do we not just tell people the truth?
And even with that one guy, death had a no contest.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly. He didn't necessarily take it as an L. He still disputed that. But what they did with McCain, this is something that people need. What they did with McCain is exactly what they're doing to Trump. People, because he's dead now, people are acting as though you cannot delineate at all. They use every single leftist strategy in the book. Nazi, mentally unfit, racist, white supremacist, Satan, homophobe. All of that sound familiar? Does any of that sound like the kind of nomenclature we're hearing today? You hear this, obviously, where you are, you hear these words thrown at Donald Trump.
You know, they do seem pretty common. I think it's because they're effective. We do some of the things. Also, rocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
You do throw those around a lot, too. That
rocks
is true.
Are pretty effective, too.
You know what's more effective than rocks? The IDF.
Yeah, that's true.
That's awkward.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, I call it like I see it. You know?
No nonsense.
Very
no
honest.
Nonsense.
I appreciate that.
I hate that he has the address to our studio. Yep. But I love that the left now. Well, at least McCain wasn't a Nazi.
Right.
Like Trump. Yeah, because that's only a recent spear. Except, remember this?
Hey, there's something on here. Huh, that's weird.
I mean, listen, and I'm not, obviously that's a comedy show, but it was commonly, people were getting their cars, their windows broken for McCain bumper stickers. My brother had someone tear off his sign.
Well, because if you were for McCain, you were a racist and a Nazi against Barack Obama.
Yes.
It had nothing to do with the efficacy of him or not, right?
Well, that was, remember back then it was, racist was even bigger than now.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because it was Barack Obama. And then when it was Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, it was sexist.
Sexist, yes.
And they tried to throw the whole transphobe thing in there because it kind of fit under the umbrella of gender. And you realize, hold on a second, everyone went from racist to, no, she's just a bitch.
It's a pretty straightforward thing.
As a matter of, you kind of have to be to lose to Donald Trump at that moment
in time.
People will not appreciate just how unlikely it was for Donald Trump to win if anyone else outside of Hillary. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that it happened. But awesome. I mean, you guys even had it. Did you have a dog in that fight at that point?
I wagered hard on Hillary on the,
of course,
on the in trade.
Yeah,
you were looking for the reset.
Yeah, I had put it all on.
I can imagine. Everyone was. I remember it was at New York Times when we were doing the live election. Yeah. We had 98% chance.
It was ridiculous.
Clinton, and we just watched the numbers go down while we did that stream.
It was
their face.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I love the tears still. I see them.
The point is, this isn't unique to McCain. Let's look at specifically. Okay, specifically the person right after McCain.
Yeah.
Remember Obama mocking Romney for what? For what now? For what was Obama mocking? Enemy number one now, Russia.
When you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not Al-Qaeda, you said Russia. In the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back.
By the way, Quarter Black called. He wants his melanin back, you fake black bastard.
I know, right? That's what I'm saying.
Right? So, yeah, he says,
I want the birth certificate just to see if you're more than a quarter black.
I don't think.
I'm still not buying it.
That's.
What are the other three quarters? Just out of curiosity, I'm just asking.
I have no idea.
You guys won't let him live either way, so what does it matter to you?
It might be nitpicking. I don't know.
It's all below the belt.
Whatever. So March 2014, Russia annexes, right? Politely steals back a country for Crimea. It's no big deal. Russia's not a problem. And then July 2018, Trump meets with Putin, and all of a sudden, it's collusion in Russia.
I know, and it's collusion.
Serious?
Trump, you do realize that we armed Ukrainians. They killed over 100 Russian soldiers. Like, you're aware that our policy is actually a lot more harsh on Russia outside of President Obama. But that's the thing. Now everyone is concerned about Russia. Back then, we were everyone.
Russia, whatever.
He thinks Russia's a threat. And how many times have you heard people know? Even Bill Maher said, well, at least Mitt Romney was a decent person. They change their stance once the person is no longer a threat. And it's the same playbook, by the way, that's been used over and over and over. And not just one or two every now and then.
Yeah.
McCain was no exception because it's been used on every single conservative or Republican ever.
Even the seamless mutuality of government and big business, come out and say it. There is a dictionary definition, one word that describes that toxic blend. You're a fascist.
The biggest threat to America today is not communism. It's moving America toward a fascist theocracy.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
We put that one in just because I know everyone's on the Kanye train.
Yes, he can't read that.
He's still an idiot.
That's awesome.
Best part of that, you don't see the rest of the clip, is Meyer's reaction. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Bush does not care about black people.
Oh, boy.
Yikes.
Tossed into the deep end.
Stick to singing.
On a telethon. Can we get Jerry Lewis in here? What the hell is going on? You put me next to the touched black guy who thinks he's Freddie Mercury for some reason. Oh, what a crappy gig. Listen, obviously, my prayers, of course, go out to the McCain family. And losing a family member, and listen, for better or worse, whatever your opinion, a national icon, it's always a tragedy and there's a time for mourning. But all I'm talking about here is a little bit, just a modicum of consistency. How do I remember McCain? Okay. How do you remember McCain, you guys?
I remember McCain as somebody who, I hate to say this again, he became a pansy, politically speaking. He just didn't stand up for anything anymore, and it seems like he switched to try to just gain popularity.
Exactly. Okay, so I remember him as, you were going to say something?
Well, the only thing I remember him, like, honestly.
Wow, that's terrible.
That's all I remember.
He was in a Vietnam War camp. You try it, Quarter Black Garrett.
But that was like 50 years
ago. Plus, they're also racist.
Not really.
So all of a sudden, you'd be like Peter denying Christ three times before the rooster crows, denying your blackness.
True.
They're not fond of you guys.
That's true.
I think that McCain is a good. I don't know that that's true at all. Watching
Vietnam, actually looking.
We love the colored. Why you say that? We love Negro. That's probably the term. I don't know what they say. They haven't gotten the memo of people of color yet. I still read NAACP. ICP fire. No, look, cut our people. You screwed up.
It's okay.
You want me to change that now? African American. What if you're from Jamaica, live in Canada? You stupid. So how do I remember John McCain? Good man. Yeah, I absolutely remember as a good man and a candidate that I didn't like, but voted for because I had to. I had no choice. And someone who, despite his unbelievably impressive military pedigree, surprised me. Yeah. With some of his caving to political peer pressure in Washington. Yeah. And by the way, you know what? Nearly everyone out there listening right now, watching, feels the exact same way that we just mentioned about McCain. You just don't think you can say it. That's it. Almost everyone you talk to goes like, yeah, McCain, we kind of screwed the pooch with McCain. Yeah. Yeah, listen, you don't have to love the guy because he's dead now. I think the guy is worthy of more respect than some people out there, like Ted Kennedy, who killed a girl and left her. I would honor John McCain before that, but it doesn't mean that I love everything about the guy, and none of that changes. By the way, when I die, please, the people who hate me, don't change your tune. Shout it from the rooftops like the Ricola guy, okay? And as far as what you do with my body, sweetheart, I don't care. I don't care if she asks me if it's open casket, because French Canadians do that, and cremation. Just leave me out for the trash on Tuesday. I couldn't care less. I'm not using this.
Yeah, it's done.
You want another, you want someone to put on the burning heap?
Yeah,
noted.
That's a willing beheading. Postmortem, nonetheless.
So the one thing that's beyond dispute, I think, here with the passing of McCain is that it proves to us time and time again, how many times have you heard us say this, that appeasing crocodiles is futile.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how moderate you are. It doesn't matter how much middle ground you try to find or concede. That's why I said I couldn't care less about middle ground. I couldn't care less about finding common ground. I care about truth. Once you're at the top of the heap for the Republican Party, or even seen as any kind of a conservative representative, you will get the same playbook played again. Nazi, racist, homophobe, bigot, war hawk, liar. Dummy, take your pick. So live your life and be exactly who you are. Be your right-wing self to the fullest, because the only time the left will ever treat you with any respect or civility, that's the term of the day now, right? Yeah. Civility. Yeah. The only time they'll ever give you any respect or civility is when you can be used as a political pawn once you're dead. Razor Fist, Dennis Prager, coming up.
Louder with Crowder now officially sponsors Monster Truck.
Monster Truck.
Monster Truck.
Look at that Monster Truck.
Well, we didn't actually sponsor a Monster Truck. They just put our sticker on it because we don't have any money.
Money.
Money. Turns out Monster Trucks are expensive.
A lot of money.
But watch this Monster Truck go fast.
Fast.
And crush the competition.
Because they're all
Guys, tone it down.
Louderwithcrowder.com/mugclub.
To help us get stickers on Monster Trucks.
Oh, hello there. Mahmoud Al-Mahmoud here to tell you about Mug Club and why you should not join it. Mug Club is horrible. It cost, how much does it cost, Stephen?
It's actually a pretty good deal. It's $99 a year, $69 for veterans.
$99?
$69 for students, veterans, or military.
What is that in lira?
I couldn't tell you. You're the one who wanted to do the read. You said your media school experiencer is going to help you.
Okay, look. That's a lot of money. You should not do it. Come on, what is it, blue? You probably have a blue cup. And what do you get with
it? It's hand-etched, the mug. Feel it. Run your finger across it there.
Wow.
That is hand-etched, yes.
That's hand-etched.
They get the show every single day. They also get all of the CRTV catalog. They get the mug. Yeah, there's like 10, 15 programs they get access to. It's a whole network.
Yeah, but how many sandwiches as well?
I don't think they get any sandwiches at all.
You don't get
You're
any
You're just
sandwiches.
Very hungry. We really should have put you on a flight that had meal service. Louderwithcrowder.com/mugclub today. Don't listen to him. It is fly. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means when people say it's fly, or when people say in Canada, they used to say it's jokes.
Yeah.
That was something they would say.
That doesn't even sound close.
Could be a Canadian thing. Like, it's funny, but they would say it's jokes. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense with their adverbiage over there. Someone who is very eloquent in the way he speaks, and he also has a new merch store up, I believe.
I didn't even know that.
It's always hard to plug him because, well, we'll just go with that. We'll continue with that. I'm sure I'll have something to say there. It's the Rageaholic on YouTube, but then Razor Fist on the Twitter with a zero. So most of you will get that wrong. Mr. Fist, how are you, sir?
I try to make it as confusing as buying a PS4.
Yes.
That's my goal here.
I'm not inside baseball with the gamer stuff, but I assume it's difficult to purchase a PlayStation 4, yes?
There's about 50 different versions now, or any console, really. It's not just PS4, pretty much anything.
I didn't know. Yeah. The last time I was playing was a GoldenEye Nintendo 64, and then I had an Xbox, which my mom traded for a television set for her kitchen, unbeknownst to me.
I guess you're not going to many Madden events.
No, I am.
In your future.
I am not. Which, okay, so as a gamer, I did want to get your take on this. You know, he's been dubbed the Madden shooter. I'm sure you've heard this. What are your thoughts on this?
And I have to stop you, though. Like, when I heard there was a John Madden shooting, like, who among us didn't hope? You know what I mean? Like, who among us?
I don't know. For a joke to work, it has to be relatable. I don't know that many people have a deeply seated hatred for John Madden. I think it might just be you, Mr. Rage.
I love John Madden, but come on.
it is one of those issues, kind of like the trans stories. It's very difficult to read. You go, well, it's a he to she, and because they never want to show you their cards, you're like, oh, just assume this is actually a man or a woman. You're like, well, who's winning the state wrestling titles? I can't tell.
You can't judge.
Same thing can happen. Some people, when they read the Madden shooter, thought, oh no, what happened to John Madden? But yeah, what's your take on this? That this has been kind of a part of the vernacular.
It's turned into a facet of the gun control argument, basically, and now it's video game control, basically. Right. Who thought when you start banning inanimate objects that they wouldn't stop at guns?
Yes.
Who would have thought?
How do they do it when it's no longer an inanimate object? It's no longer a CD-ROM. It's no longer a cartridge. It's just a game that's downloaded on an iPad.
Some nebulous cloud somewhere.
Yeah, basically. Alongside Jennifer Lawrence's breast pictures. Yeah.
Yes. So basically, because some barely ass functional, you know, Spurg decided to turn Madden into a first person shooter, we're back on the you know, blame video games bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know, never mind. And if you look at it statistically, video game adoption is at an all time high, while violent street crime is at an all time low, or it's at like a 40-year low or some such. Never mind that, you know, the two numbers are basically arcing in opposite directions. Let's blame Luigi for Columbine. You know yes. what I mean? Like it just doesn't make any sense at all. And the real problem, like no issue exposes the cognitive dissonance of sort of the slacktivist left.
Yeah.
Today, like the dichotomy between reflexively defending video games as inanimate objects that lack destructive agency, as I'm sure we all agree, while calling for the regulation or outright ban of firearms in spite of the very same. Like, Eddie, if you want hours of entertainment, just point out the self-evident contradiction and just watch them lock up like Obama without a prompter.
That being said, after the incredibly disappointing launch of the GameCube with Luigi's Mansion, I did want to blow my brains out. So I'm sure there's some runoff there. He's not entirely clean. He's not a spotless lamb, as it were. Yeah, it is odd that they go Madden. You know, remember when we were growing up, it was Doom and Duke Nukem and then Gold. And I, yep. And then it, Call of Duty was one. And Madden?
Yes. No kidding. And that's the thing. Like, it's like they want to have the government ban certain things. They just want to cherry pick. Is basically the long and short of it. I mean, basically they're learning. You let the government slide just the tip in. They'll be up to their elbows in your a hole.
Yeah, exactly. It's not difficult to plug. It's because he's plugging everyone else. Here's the deal though. You know, the NRA came out and blamed video games too. That's what really bothers me is when people on the right try to do this as well to obfuscate the issue because they're going, oh, hold on, we want to get them off the scent of guns. It's like, well, you don't need to. You have the Second Amendment, guys. You don't have to blame Medal of Honor. By the way, no one plays it anymore. But you talk about banning things selectively. You know, we were just talking about this before. He wanted to ban mixed martial arts as human cockfighting. You know, John McCain was somebody who was very selective in what he wanted to ban when he wanted to be big government versus small government. And I know we're not supposed to talk about it. Like I said, I remember John McCain, Senator John McCain, is a guy I kind of had to vote for. Decent man, waffled to the Democrats when he didn't have to, and was kind of a politician. That's about how I view him, as almost everybody does, but no one feels they can say it. As someone who spent a lot of time in Arizona, likely more than McCain before his political career, what are your thoughts on this right now?
Sorry, I was holding a moment of silence for the tumor. Look, I am in Arizona. Disclaimer, he's my senator. I'll say all the things you want to say but can't.
I genuinely, here's the thing. I don't there are some people who dislike him because, you know, on the Trump side. Right. That's not why. But I do, you know, upholding Obamacare, for example, it still pisses me off, alive or dead. That doesn't change. I mean, I did do a video the day Ted Kennedy died, a sketch, The Ghost of Ted Kennedy. So I have no problem with it. I just want people to be consistent and honest.
That's my favorite thing, by the way, about Mitt Romney criticizing Trump for lacking decorum, you know, and criticizing him for corruption over the funding gate, you know, campaign funding gate. It's like, you're from Massachusetts, my friend. Your state bird is an Oldsmobile in a lake, and you're going to talk to me about corruption. Come on. But no, look, I'm in Arizona. He's my senator, or he still is. Actually, we don't have an appointee, so I guess his corpse is my senator. I literally have not had a senator for the last 2 years because John McCain was too busy playing politics from his deathbed to resign, you know, while Jeff Flake went on safari to avoid voting on shit. Basically, that's my primary issue, is the obfuscation and the BS around his condition, his ability to actually work, the fact that for the last year we basically have not been represented at all in the Senate. You know, and another thing, like, you'd think dying of brain sickness would take a bite out of your spite, but apparently not so much. You know, he was uninviting people from his funeral to the bitter end. He uninvites Trump. He uninvites Rand Paul, calls him a Russian agent. He uninvites Palin, the woman he ran with in 2008.
I know. It is one of the... You'd like to think he wouldn't be a bitter old person, but it really seemed, when you look at that list, for people who haven't, it gets worse. I think if you look down the list, there's some that are strikingly personal. Somebody was explaining it to me, because you can't know necessarily everyone on this non-invite list. It's like a book I used to read as a child. It was called Hooper Humperdinck, not him. It was just about people who weren't invited to the party. They were mostly losers and fat people. Mm. It's how I learned my ABCs, not a joke. But this is important that someone from Arizona has come on the show to talk about this, because we were talking about the left. And the left, obviously, now is saying, well, listen, he was one of the greatest American heroes. They called him a Nazi back then. We just ran a clip from Family Guy where they showed the SS with a McCain-Palin sticker. This is what bothers me about the left, but we're not hearing a lot of folks on the right talk about some of these issues as well. There's the inconsistency issue, which we've dealt with, but I think that some of your comments, barring the others that I cannot condone, are illuminating.
Right. And the thing is, I think part of it is, number one, she associated too closely with Trump, and two, I think he kind of always blamed her for losing the election.
Or talking about Palin, yes. You know,
even if he had invited her, he would have had to pull her out from under the bus first. You know what I mean? And here's the thing. If you go back through that campaign and really look at the high points and low points, like, I can pinpoint the precise moment McCain cratered that election.
Right.
And I can do it in exactly one sentence. Are you ready? Change is coming, my friends. Change is coming, right?
Yeah.
Like, I bet at that exact moment Obama was coming. Yeah, there's the quintessential archetype for progress and change. You know, a haggard old Jim Henson Creature Shop character who looks like he's about to brew a potion in the Dark Crystal. Like, a dude who's kept alive with Egyptian magic. Let's put him on stage next to the young, handsome, smiling black dude. There's a recipe for Republican victory. Positioning himself as the candidate of change.
Well, see, that was the Illuminati sleight of hand, the sleight of hand that just occurred right there. John McCain is so white, you didn't realize that President Obama doesn't even pass the brown paper bag test. So he's really not that black. It was just a contrast. The Illuminati, by the way, they meet on Tuesdays. No, I think you're right. And also, this is important. A lot of people don't realize, when we talk about finding common ground or reaching across the aisle, we were just talking about the video game issue. A lot of people don't remember this. They thought it was Republicans and conservative Christians who wanted to ban South Park. I was at UT, and I spoke actually with, I was Trey Stone and Matt Parker, Trey Parker, Matt Stone. And he said, actually, Christians never actually wanted to ban us. They just wanted us to set a later time slot, which we were fine with. If you go back to the censorship in the 90s, it was spearheaded by Tipper Gore. That's something a lot of people don't remember, the rating systems and the warning labels. And it was something that John McCain, I don't remember exactly, not entirely, but a lot of steps along the way, got on board with this. And that's just not a conservative thing to do, regardless. If you're a libertarian, if you're a populist, if you're a traditional conservative constitutionalist, you're not on board with silencing what people can and cannot act.
Yeah, and it was, he would usually jump on those issues when they became populist ones.
Right.
That's the great misnomer about John McCain, is this idea that he was a maverick. Really, he was a politico. He was a guy who would blow with the wind. Whichever direction the breeze was blowing, he would blow there. And then afterward, when it was unpopular, he'd say, sorry, guys, I'm a maverick.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of the issue with John McCain.
Talk to me, Goosh. What?
And his issue with, just don't let him take off from the aircraft carrier. But anyway,
difficult.
The big problem, like, at the end of the
this
day...
This is a horrible segment. I hope you realize this. I hope you understand that this might work in the gaming community. This will not go over well, but I'll allow it.
I'll allow it. There you go. It's entirely your fault.
No, I do agree, but though. No. The Maverick thing, this was branding. It was branding. It wasn't really consistent with the guy's values. And I just, you know, I don't think that I dislike the guy as much as you do, because largely probably because I'm not from Arizona. And spending time, you know, in Michigan or spending time, you know, in Texas, where a lot of people are really happy with Ted Cruz. There's a big contrast, right? You look at the general and Donald Trump was calling him Lion Ted. And people in Texas were going, okay, we get this as a general. It's like pre-fight hype. But we want this guy in that Senate seat. He's actually done a pretty good job. It's the exact opposite with small government voters in Arizona with McCain. I think that's a story that needs to be told.
Yeah, and yet it's bizarre because, like, it's crazy. This state, I don't know what he did. Like, at the end of the day, God voted him out of office before we did. I said that somewhat humorously, but at the end of the day, like, you know, the entire electorate he called the crazies during the 2016 election. He called his entire electorate the crazies.
I don't understand. I never understood the McCain situation, but your video, I know that you put up on the subject. Term limits, that is an issue. You are talking about a guy who's a career politician. Win, lose, or draw. Obviously, it's always a tragedy when someone is lost, who's an American icon, you know, for better or for worse, wherever people line up, whether it's the left or the right. And I don't know who lines up where now. It seems like the left just absolutely loves John McCain. And it seems as though many people on the right are horribly. I don't know what to make of it, but it's always a tragedy. But I think we also need to be honest and consistent. Okay, Razor Fist. Where's the best place for people to find you? I know it's Rageaholic on YouTube. Where's your new merch store? Let's plug that before we go.
That's going to be opening. So I'll have more announcements about that going forward. The best way to find those will be twitter.com/RazorFist with a zero. And, of course, there are links to everything else there. So that would be the easiest way to beard me.
There you go. And he will be banned before you know it.
Look at you with more plugs than Joe Biden over there.
Yeah, well, actually significantly more. People don't realize just how bad. One of my favorite stories ever is on the Amtrak magazine. I'm taking the Joe Biden Express, and someone clearly put a picture of him when he was young and bald, and then a picture of him old with a full head of hair right next to each other. I'm going, I love the senior editor of this magazine. I have to go. At Razor Fist, Dennis Prager next. Oh, yeah.
Goodbye, John McCain, though I never know you at all. I heard you were a POW literally 5,000 times. CNN called you a monster. Even after you had cancer in your brain, they compared you to Hitler. Blitzer spit upon your name. Now the same media said you lived your life like a hero without sin. Only praised you moments after your rigor mortis set in. And they never got to know you cause you were a Republican. And the only good Republican to the media is dead. Goodbye, John McCain, though I never knew you at all. I heard you were a POW like 5,000 times. Good night, sweet prince.
That's called the my producer, Johnny Boy, brought this in right. I was going, where's the physical copy of our next guest's book? We can just do it on the lower right thirds there. But now I've got it. Of course, you guys know Exodus. This is the Rational Bible. And it's a series, actually, as far as I understand. I don't know what's totally available right now, but I highly recommend this. You can buy it wherever books are sold. That's mainly online now, let's be honest. Yeah. Not a lot of people are. I went to a Barnes & Noble. It's a cafe.
Yeah.
It's called Barnes & Noble Cafe. And they also happen to sell books, but they're a quarter of a library. Radio host, author, founder of Prager University. You know him, you love him. Mr. Dennis Prager, how are you, sir?
I know you and I love you too. And I mean it.
Stop it. Thank
no, 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 No. You do great work.
Well, thank you very much. And I was very proud. I was recognized at a cigar lounge not too long ago, and people said, we were watching your interview with Dennis Prager today. It seems like a lot of conservatives hang out at those places, and they really enjoyed the chat.
Yeah, well, do you know, by the way, I do a fireside chat every week on Facebook for PragerU from my home, yes. And I smoke a cigar. We were not allowed to promo it last week on Facebook because I smoke a cigar.
Yes, of course not. But you can use their weed finding app. It's very effective. it really is. I think there was actually they wouldn't allow the cigar aficionado, if I'm not mistaken, or it was a cigar lounge finder app on Apple because it involved any tobacco products.
No.
Yeah, I think it got fixed. I think it got fixed, but it was a long, drawn-out battle. Before we go into something I want to talk with you about, you were just educating me off-air. Fakakta is what I thought it is. It's Yiddish for screwed up, right?
Screwed up, basically, yeah. Okay. I don't want to tell you literally what it is, but yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess you know what I was going to say. I was going to say it sounds. It actually seems like a much cleaner word than it sounds like, but apparently not. So you're turning out obviously a ton of videos at PragerU. I shouldn't say a ton. A really good amount of high quality videos. Ton makes it sound like it's a factory. And I know I'll actually be in Los Angeles to do another video with you guys soon. You recently did one where you just specifically let people in on your history, your worldview, how you came to be who you are. It was unique in comparison to a lot of other PragerU videos. Now, I'm familiar with your history because I used to pirate radio, like I've talked about, from Plattsburgh, New York. We didn't have it in Montreal. Why did you feel the need to do that, though, with PragerU?
Well, it was not my idea, actually. I would not have suggested it. But we just had a big birthday party for me. 300 folks spent a lot of money to come to a big hotel in Beverly Hills. They came from around the country. It was a very, I don't like that stuff, but it really turned out to be a great evening. And Alan Estrin, my producer, and the guy whose idea PragerU was made a video to show at this big thing and that about my life. I didn't even know he did it. I had no hand in it. I did. It's the only PragerU video I didn't edit. And our CEO said, you know what, Pete, not everybody knows Dennis. And even people who know him don't know anything really about his life. So why don't we just put it up once? And that's how it happened.
Well, when you say edit, you mean creatively edit. You're not sitting there with a mouse in Final Cut Pro, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Wait, you're talking about the video or the... I'm talking about the... both, by the way.
Yes.
Actually, I don't sit with Final Cut Pro.
Right.
But yes, I do. I'm the final writing editor of the videos and the final video editor.
Yes, that's what I mean. I mean, you're doing the creative edit, just as a director would with a film, overseeing it.
Just morally, I have to be, because it's called PragerU. Exactly. If it was O'Brien U, then O'Brien would be the final one.
Yes, I know. And I remember last time I went and I had to go through many, many edits, which is why there's this show. And then you see me nice and cleaned up at PragerU, as far as, you know, I shave and I look decent. I remember I walked. This is a funny story. I told Alan, your producer, was there. And it took me a long time to explain to him what the Swedish bikini team was, because we were doing a video on Democrats.
It wouldn't take a minute to explain it to me.
Exactly. He's like, I don't think anyone knows what the Swedish bikini team is. I'm like, everyone knows what that's what they're known for, is IKEA
right.
And bikini.
By the way, if there is someone in my life who would not know, it is Alan.
Well, there you go.
Alan is as close to sainthood as anyone I work with.
Well, that's perfect. So he's like your Game of Thrones eunuch. You know that you can trust him around all the women in your life. There's no risk.
He is not a eunuch, that I promise.
No, but like the guy in Game of Thrones who's bald and he's a eunuch.
I'm just playing
the game and turning everyone against each other. I can't stand that guy, but my, he is cunning. So listen, any updates on the battle that you've been having with YouTube? I know you've been at the front. A lot of people don't know this. You've been at the forefront of the censorship, the cultural censorship online. Are there any developments you can tell us about? I know legally you have to...
Yes, well, interestingly, we had two videos that were... they were banned essentially by Facebook. Oh, there's so many names. Facebook.
It's Fakakta, right?
It is, exactly. And we called them on it, And it made world news. There's a big BBC piece on Facebook apologizes to PragerU.
Yeah.
There's also the shadow banning issue where you think you put it up, but it's not going anywhere. So you're not fully aware of the fact that not people aren't seeing it. Look, it has become importantly it should be one of the most important 2-3 issues in the country.
Right.
There never in the history of the world have so few people controlled all information for humanity as Google, YouTube, Facebook.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If they are politically motivated, then we're in real trouble. By the way, did you see, this was amazing, the New York Times even had a piece on this, 100 people, I believe it was Facebook.
Facebook, yes, yeah, we just talked Facebook. About it.
Yes, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
That they're, hey, wait a minute. We're not a left-wing group. We're right. supposed to be neutral.
Yeah, I don't know how familiar you are with my history with Facebook, but my half-Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond, who's now on retainer and a part of the show, the way I met him was there was an article at Engadget or TechCrunch, one of these tech sites, with a list that was released. It was leaked, a list of people to throttle on Facebook. And it was, you know, Ted Cruz for president, Chris Kyle Foundation, Breitbart, and Steven Crowder, yours truly. It was actually on a manual list to throttle. And so wow. I called up this guy who I didn't know at the time. I was told would be a good lawyer for this. And he said, yeah, this looks really bad. And we settled out of court with them. And they effectively admitted that this was happening. Though all the while, right before it was leaked and discovered, everyone was right. told it's just algorithmic. Well, now we know it's an algorithmic. So you've caught them lying before. It's really right. hard to know.
You know what?
Yeah.
Steven, forgive me. Do you know what the most depressing part of this is, or equally depressing? It's not more depressing. By the way, I just want to restate 80. I didn't state this. I'm stating it for the first time. I'm restating it from previous visits with you. 80. It is now up to 80, the number of Prager University videos that are restricted on YouTube.
Yeah. I think ours is about 12 to 15 that are not restricted. That's it. Everything else, 100, I think it's close to 1,000 videos.
Okay.
It's terrible.
So now the equally depressing news.
Yeah.
The New York Times today, in an opinion piece, says this is an entirely manufactured lie on the part of the right that there is any censorship being done on the internet. CNN just had a similar piece. I tweeted it. I tweeted the CNN piece.
Yeah.
I said, for those of you who do not believe that the media have earned the title fake news,
right?
Look at what CNN wrote about censorship on the internet.
No, that's exactly right. And we just did the Change My Mind at the White House, and people started quoting Donald Trump saying he said that the free press is the enemy of the people. And I said, hold on a second. He said fake news is the enemy of the people, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
You're quoting
that's a good example.
Stalin. And the thing is, the lady actually said, well, I only know what I read and I watch. And sure enough, it was, you know, all the leftist sources. And that's what is concerning. You know, I don't know if they necessarily believe in regulating them like public utilities, but it's funny. We talk about net neutrality, right? And ISPs, and talk, you have far more options, most people, as far as internet service providers, than you do in search options right now. Or what there are three main sites, Google, YouTube, Twitter, right? And that includes, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Google includes YouTube. I can probably pick from about 5 or 6 different internet service providers in our area. And it's something that people are starting to talk about, but it's every bit as much of a monopoly, duopoly, I don't know if tripopoly is a word. My concern is with the dishonest business practices, because you know, your business and mine lives and dies with understanding the rules and freedom, free exchange.
Right, and for people who argue, well, you know, it's private enterprise, they could do what they want, and that is a conservative argument.
Right.
But let's talk reality. And I always give this example. If Delta Airlines said, if you walk on our plane with the Wall Street Journal, I'm sorry, we don't want you on. You can walk on with the New York Times, but not with the Wall Street Journal. After all, it's free.
I'd be flying Southwest.
It's an independent company. They should have the right to do that. But it's more severe on the internet. If you don't fly Delta, you can fly American or United or some other airline.
Right.
But if you don't go via Facebook, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's a good point, though. I don't know that I don't know where my loyalties would lie because they have those delicious sugar biscottis on Delta that you don't get anywhere else, and I don't know where to find them. I've looked at Home Goods. I cannot find those cookies. They are fantastic. Damn you, Delta. All right, we do have to get going. I know you have a heart out today. It is Exodus, God, Slavery, and Freedom, the Rational Bible. Of course, PragerU, please go and support the fight that Dennis Prager is fighting right now. He's been at the forefront for a while. Mr. Prager, thank you so much for spending the time, and I'll see you soon doing PragerU.
Looking forward.
We'll be back. Wrap this up.
And now for Hopper Proverbs, sponsored exclusively by Mug Club.
It is said that if you give a dog some cheeses, you feed him for a day. But if you give a dog a cow, I don't know how to make cheeses, but if I had a recipe and some thumbs, I probably could figure it out. Just on Mug Club so Steven can give Hopper more cheeses, because he has thumbs.
Stay tuned for more Hopper Proverbs, sponsored by Mug Club.
With Crowder Ranger panties. Buy yours today at louderwithcrowdershop.com.
Combo dance. That's called the nonchalantly dying drowner. Drowner, drownee, and in combination with the Halloween 2. People who don't know, in Halloween 2, guy died in the car and he had had him the horn.
You know, you really can't not hold your breath.
No, it's a really stupid mistake to make.
I think before, I'll not hold my breath. I'll just pretend. No.
And you always hold your breath.
You have to.
By the way, there was a third part to that dance. I was concerned because I didn't know if you could actually swim. Can you quarter not swim?
Sometimes I just doggy paddle. That's what it is.
Seriously though, are you not a good swimmer?
No, I can swim okay.
Okay, but people on your dad's side, are they not good swimmers?
No.
It really is. I remember I had a bit one. By the way, thank you so much to Dennis Prager and to Razor Fist for being on the program. Yeah. And next week, I'm going to be, I should let you know, I'll be in Los Angeles actually doing a Prager University, doing a fireside chat with Dennis Prager, and I'll be doing the full hour show with Ben Shapiro.
Full week next week.
And then we'll be back here Thursday. So we'll have some clips there. We'll have the John Stossel for people who are not Mug Club members up on Saturday.
That's a good one.
Then we'll also, we might have Daniel Cormier in third chair next week. As far as I know, because by the way, Razor Fist, his dad has actually been sick, and I didn't want to. I asked him off air. He said I can talk about that, so that's why he hasn't been in third chair. And so we appreciate Mahmood coming in and filling in on short notice. It was a very long flight for him to make,
just for that
on short notice. But yeah, Daniel Cormier might be in third chair, so I don't want to put him in a compromising position because I have to trot him out to apologize on ESPN. So busy, really, really looking forward to it. And you know, there have been some changes that we're making here to grow. Like we've talked about, we're moving into a new studio. You've been seeing us do more super videos than ever. To give you an idea, Quarter Black was there in Washington D.C. and it was, you know, for us, it was a 4-hour flight out there. It was a couple hours to set up, scope it out, get set up there at the White House. 104 degree heat, I think, with the heat index.
Yes.
Is it called heat index? Is that what it is? The heat index? Something. It feels
really hot.
Yeah, it felt really, really hot.
Hot index.
We were out there taping for about 3.5 hours, tear down, and then go have lunch, write down our notes. Everything you saw actually was taped and was actually uploaded within 24 hours.
Yep.
Went there, traveled to D.C., taped it, edited it, cut it. That's redundant. Edited it, cut as a part of editing, and got it up within 24 hours because we know that people are really looking forward to it. And thanks, by the way, to the Reddit, the subreddit forums, I think the conservative subreddit and the Donald subreddit, people who really enjoyed it. But man, it was a lot of work. You were probably pretty spent when you came back.
Oh, too. Yeah. Yeah. I crashed.
Yeah. I can imagine. It's
not in the plane. No, but when I get back.
No, otherwise it'd be a John Denver situation. Mm. But it was, it's a lot of work. And to give you an idea, the reason it's worthwhile, and sometimes I've kind of struggled with this, and I know I've talked about this before when we did SMU. Let me kind of rewind. There was a day actually where I had to go back out to D.C. not long ago to do this exact same thing to do the YAF, Young Americans Foundation, conference. And at this point, some things had changed where we were just working through the week. So this was a Friday. So we were taping a show that day, taping some kind of a big sketch that day. I don't remember exactly what it was. And then I had to hop on a flight, get out there. I landed at the airport 30 minutes before I was supposed to be on stage. It was an hour drive. So I got up on stage about a half hour late because it was the only amount of time. It was the only way we could possibly make it work. It was the only flight we could take. Did that show for an hour and a half and then flew back. And I don't say this because it's not that it's impressive in any way. What it is a lot of people here have been working, particularly like recently going to D.C. Every time I think D.C., I think exhaustion. To the brink of exhaustion doing these things. And I hope that you guys see these changes we're making are really to really looking to make sure that we honor the dollar you spent with us. We don't take it lightly. We do not take it lightly that not only people who support us at Mug Club, because we know there's, you know, there are hundreds of Patreons out there for as long as Patreon allows these places to exist, but to actually invest in what we do with Mug Club and watch The Daily Show and join the CRTV network. It means a lot to us. Not only that, but your viewership. When people come up and I always ask people if I can read their letter. Sometimes people say no. Sometimes people say yes. This was actually a letter that I got while I was at that YAF conference. So that day, I was exhausted. I didn't want it. There's a big part of me that before I got on the plane, I was thinking, is there any way to get out of this? And actually, Johnny Boy, the unsung hero, got on a plane with me and went out there. And after I had performed at YAF, and I think you can find the video online, we were taking pictures and we had to catch a flight back. And there was a girl, there were a couple of girls who had some personal messages, one of whom was an ex-Muslim. She hasn't responded, so I don't know that I can use her email. But there was a young woman who was crying quite a bit. And so I know YAF was being really respectful, saying, no, we've got to move this through because everyone wanted to take pictures and we were trying to take group pictures. But I could see she was distraught. You know, sometimes at these shows you have people who come up and it's just they want to give you their life story just because they want to take a picture and put it on Instagram. Or like that guy in Austin with the Change My Mind. Remember, yo, Green Opaque. You remember him? Yo, represent. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you.
Back away.
But this young woman was crying. And so I thought, hold on a second, give me a minute. And I spoke with her. And she sent me an email. So it was just titled, she titled it The Crying Girl. And she wrote, I just, this is why we do what we do. And this is why we're really trying to move as onward and upward as powerfully as possible. Because we do this show, it really is a lot more than ourselves. It really is. When we saw at SMU these people there, we really do feel like we're a part of something greater than ourselves. And it's always hard to try and juxtapose that with, you know, balance, to try and spend time with my family, people here, to try and make sure that we know we're putting out the best product possible, that we've done everything that we can do, but that we're also not spreading ourselves too thin, and that's why we're still hiring more people, and we're growing and moving into new places. So this is what she wrote. I wanted to thank you so much for being genuinely kind to me Friday night at NCSC. I feel weird reading any compliments toward me on air from this letter, but you know who you are, crying girl. She said, you don't know how much that meant to me. I thought I should explain a bit of why I was crying that night. I'm terrible with endings. With the realization that the conference was over, I came to a realization that I will never be able to tell my grandfather about any of it. You see, my grandfather was the first one to introduce me to the conservative movement. I got involved in politics, and more specifically, YAF, because of him. He passed away in January of this year, and it has been one of the hardest losses I've experienced. I'm currently a rising senior at the University of blank, I'll withhold that, majoring in public policy, and I don't think I ever would have ended up here without him. I've been attending YAF conferences since I was a freshman in high school, and I always looked forward to talking with my grandfather about all the speakers I'd heard from and the lessons I'd learned. His excitement and smiles every time kept me going. I knew when I went back home, I wouldn't be able to. I was dealing with the realization that my number one influencer in my life and the man I looked up to was no longer here. You've always inspired me and my little brother. She writes some complimentary things about my comedy here, which I'll withhold because I'll feel awkward. But she likes it, so that's good. So one that's person good. Does. Screw your YouTube comments. I'd take you more seriously if you weren't dressed like a genie. Don't. Thank you once again for not only stopping for a picture with me, but for being concerned and giving me this opportunity to email you. You have no idea how much my brother and I look up to you. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to care. God bless you and your family. This is one of those things where you can read this, and I know I've seen people read this and then they exalt themselves, or you could read this and be incredibly humbled. Now, for me, this is something I struggle with. We talked about this with Jordan Peterson. I read this and I get anxiety because it puts a face to the fact that we actually have an impact, that we have an influence out there for better or worse. And I've got to take that seriously. And I've got to balance that with obviously trying to be entertaining and obviously trying to deliver what people have come here for, while also understanding that people are paying attention and people's minds and hearts are being changed by what we do, not only with Change My Mind, but with every episode that we do. It's a really weird feeling. And you've probably, to give you an analogy that might make sense, you've probably felt this if ever you've had a child or a nephew or even a little cousin who you saw copying you. You ever do that? You ever do something bad and a little kid and you see them copy you, say a bad word or do something bad, and you're like, oh my gosh, I better really make sure that I tread carefully here because there are copycats. Monkey see, monkey do. Not to that degree. I don't mean that you people are copycats. I want people to be originalists when you go out there. I really do. I'm hoping that there are more people on YouTube. I'm hoping that they don't silence us. That, you know, they can't silence us all. They can silence us singularly. That's the issue. And I want to see more people out there. I hope there's more competition for conservatives. But this was 3 weeks ago, going out to D.C. And I was tired then. Everyone here was tired then. So before we went out to the Change My Mind, I know a lot of people weren't really looking forward to doing it. It was tiring. It was exhausting. It was a lot of work. It was carrying a lot of heavy stuff. It was hot. And I just wanted to say it was entirely worth it. So I'm incredibly appreciative. Crying Girl, as you titled yourself in the email, I really do appreciate it. And it's emails like this that really do keep us going on. And everything that you see is a byproduct of that. Everything worthwhile doing is hard. If it weren't, everyone would be doing. I know that sounds like a bumper sticker we've talked, but it's absolutely true. If it weren't hard, everyone would be doing it. This isn't easy, what we do. Not Quarter Black's job is not easy. Mahmood's job is not. Gerald's job is not easy. Johnny Boy, Sound Guy Edwards' job. None of their jobs are easy or everyone would be doing this. We cannot, I say this humbly, we cannot do this without you. People don't join Mug Club. People don't tune in. People don't watch. We don't get people like this who send these letters. Guess what? We go away. It's absolutely true. It's the opposite of a boycott. Your boycott, your support is what allows us to do this. And that's why you always hear me say we. You hear me say our. You hear me say the team. The team isn't just the people here who work here. It really is you, people watching, people commenting, people liking, people sharing. That's the only reason we're able to do what we do. Believe me, it is not lost on me or anyone here. And that's why we're really hoping to bring you some new and great things this coming year and hopefully coming years, if you'll have us. Always, if you'll have us. See you next week. Daniel Cormier. I'll be in LA too at other stuff. It only takes-